Turn and welcome someone this morning. Happy new month. Glory to God forevermore. Today we want to start looking at God's word in the area of prayers. Okay, and there are some aspects of spiritual discipline as revealed in God's word that you and I cannot hear too much concerning them. So there are things we teach year in, year out, because it's meant to be part of our everyday life. And so you notice that every time we teach, you see things are fresh, your fervency is renewed, your understanding is also greatly increased. And that's why we look at some of these things over and over again, because you don't really arrive. You just improve upon where you were before. So you keep building upon the foundation that you had. And that's one of the reasons why we look at some of these aspects of our spiritual discipline and responsibility, so that we don't lose sight of those things. James chapter 1, we want to look at prayer again, or look at the prevailing prayers. And today we're just going to be introducing and touch some high points, which we're going to give more clarity to as the days go by. James chapter 1, from verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, if any of you," so that has been given a context now. So the "any of you" there will be a reference to brethren. So again, for the sake of emphasis, when you hear the word brethren in scriptures, it's a Greek word adelphos. It means those who proceed from the same womb or who come from the same source. Hallelujah. And the womb here is talking about the womb of the resurrection, or those who are born again. So it's talking about, these are spiritual realities concerning the brethren. Now again, the word brethren itself should be music to your ears. It should be, if you understand what it really means. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews and chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 10. Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 10. It says, "For he became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Or in modern day English, "he became perfected through the things he went through." Now, when he says suffering there, he's talking about the price that was paid in order to bring many sons unto glory. You can say the price for our sins. Hallelujah. So when it says, "he became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things," so he's telling you, he's the one who gave the promise, he's the one who came to fulfill the promise. So what he said he would do, he put on flesh and blood in order to be able to what? Accomplish it. But when he was accomplishing it, this is what the writer is calling attention to. He says, "he became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory," or to accomplish the plan of salvation, "to make the captain of their salvation perfect through" what? "Suffering." Say, "I've been brought unto glory. I've been brought to a place of authority." He says, "both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, or they all have one Father." That's a better rendering. Let's look at NIV for that verse 11. See what it says. It says, "both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family." They are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed. Hallelujah. He is not ashamed to call them what? Brothers. Let's have another translation. Let's look at Amplified. Sometimes when you're studying and you look at translations, the import of what was said becomes a bit clearer. It says, both he who sanctifies, the one who makes men holy, and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call them what? Brethren. That means those who are sharers in the same glory, in the same authority. We're looking at subject of prayer, and I'm starting from this angle because it's important that we understand, number one, what prayer is, number two, who can pray, number three, how effective your prayers actually can be and your prayers actually are. Now, prayer is one of those things that almost everybody does, one way or the other. Whether you are a believer or you're not a believer, you shall believe something. And most people believe there's a God. So a lot of times when we leave the subject of prayer to men's whims and caprices, that is their own ideas, they are likely to go astray. So we have the word of God as a foundation. Now, James is writing to brethren, and every time we spoke about the epistle written by James, we must understand he's laying down New Testament word doctrine. But the background of what he's writing is the Holy Scriptures, or Genesis, Malachi. So, notice, in bringing many sons to glory, say, I've been brought into glory, the place of authority, I'm no longer beggarly, I'm in authority in Christ Jesus. Why is that necessary? Look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22, verse 30. And I sought for a man among them. This is Ezekiel in prophecy, speaking by the Spirit of God. I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge or close up the gap. So there's a gap now. In what God wants to do and in what is happening, there's a gap. And many people don't realize that there's a gap usually in what God wants to accomplish and what is actually taking place. So those who don't realize who God is, and therefore the will of God, they just assume everything that happens, happens because it is the will of God. No, no. That's why you need the light of scriptures to open your eyes to whose side is God on. In this situation, if I see this happen, who should I blame or who is responsible? Now, God is saying something that is a bit alien to the understanding of men. He said, I sought, that means I'm searching around for a man among them. So the man I'm looking for must be among them. Number one, it must be a man. It must be related to those people that are having that experience. I'm looking for a man. The man has to be among them. Now, this is the God of the heaven and earth that has all the power. I'm looking for a man among them. It says that shall make up the edge or close up the gap. So there's a gap between what is taking place and what God wants to see happen. There's a gap. I'm looking for a man among them, and that will stand before me. That's righteousness. I'm looking for a man that should make up the egg and stand in the gap before me for the land. The one who has the right to pray, representing me and representing them. So I'm looking for a man. He will take a hold of humanity and take a hold of God's side of the equation. I'm looking for it has to be a man. So he says, he will stand in the gap before me, that I should not what destroy it, but I want. I found none. Now, again, when you're reading the Holy Scriptures, which is one of the reasons why, the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. Say amen. But the only begotten Son, which is where, in the bosom of the Father, he has come to what? Declare. The word declare means to explain. So, when you want to read some of the utterances of the prophets, you need what Jesus has said, what Jesus has done, to decode what they are trying to say. Because when you just see the word, so that I will not destroy, you have the mindset God wants to destroy. The next verse explains what it means by so that I will not destroy. So look at the next verse. It says, therefore, have I poured out my what? Indignation. That's a figure of speech. That's what you call it. That's graphic language. I have poured out my indignation. I have consumed the father of my wrath. What is he saying in those previous lines? Look at the last. Let's read the last part together. The other one? Their own what? Have I what? Recompense upon their... So I have allowed them to suffer the consequence of their actions. The word allow doesn't even mean something active. It means I couldn't do anything to stop them from experiencing the consequence of their actions. What would I have done if I found a man? It will make up the gap. If I found a man, it will pray. It will take my will. And it will stand on behalf of men. And then he will exert my will in that particular situation. I sought for a man among them. So, I'm trying to let us realize something important about prayer. Prayer, so to speak, is to ensure that the will of God is done in every situation. Prayer is to ensure that the will of God is done where? In every situation. I sought for a man. Now, to seek for a man will mean God himself wants things to go his way, which will benefit man. But God is speaking now prophetically about a gap. There's a gap in the system. And that gap is the man that will stand, I can't find. Now, if you are the one who is the instigator of wrath and judgment and consequence, why are you looking for someone to avert it? Am I making sense this morning? So if God is the one who is instigating the wrath, the judgment, the condemnation, why is he looking for somebody to stand and what? Avert. What is God looking at? I want to avert the judgment. I don't want it to happen. But the ways of man are such that certain activities from man's perspective will produce certain consequences. I want those consequences to be averted, but so by need a man. That means, except you have flesh and blood upon the earth, there are certain things that God can't do except you have flesh and blood. I swore to a man among them. He must be among them. He must be able to stand before me. That's righteousness. Right standing. He must be able to stand before me. Because something is coming. Judgment is coming. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But what? The gift of God is eternal life. How did it come? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So whenever you see death, the first thing you should recognize is sin is in operation. When we say sin now, we're not just talking about the actions of men. We're talking about the spiritual force called sin. Amen. What did God introduce as an antidote to sin? Eternal life, which is also what the mercy of God at work. So God's permanent disposition towards men, listen very carefully, even to the one who is stealing, even to those who are kidnapping, even to the ritual killer, is that the wages of sin should give way to eternal life. That's God's best. That means while they are doing it, God condemns the action, but God doesn't want those men to die. Now, as we go on, you will see why you need the mind of Christ to pray to pray effectual prayers, because you and I know if they leave you to your devices, the prayers we will pray for ritual killers. Even if none of your family members have been taken, you just wish they would not be on the surface of the earth. But they are here because somebody else is also here. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So when you want men to die, you are wasting resources. You are going after the wrong person. You are going after the wrong person. There has to be a renewal of your mind to want to see the way God sees. Listen carefully. When they came to judge Jesus, they came to judge Jesus that John the Baptist had just been beheaded. That was the one man alive who understood Jesus' ministry, who introduced him, who knew God's plans with respect to Jesus. He had just been beheaded. Jesus went quiet and left town to a solitary place for a while. The next thing Jesus did, you would think he would pray the prayer. And you know, the interesting part is this. If Jesus can get an answer from the Father at any time, Jesus could have said, as I'm standing here, Herod, cough up blood now and collapse. What will happen? He will. But Jesus understood who was behind the death of John the Baptist. It was a young girl, but it was not a young girl. So Jesus did something that if you don't pay attention to that passage of scripture, you wouldn't see. He went around and started preaching and healing. What was he doing? Destroying the works of darkness. He was getting back at the real enemy. He left Herod alone. Why? Herod is not the problem. Okay. Hallelujah. Now some of you are like, wait, this church, they are too nice. You don't pray for anybody to die. If we do, we're wasting resources. Because you are leaving the enemy. I am pursuing things that don't matter. Now, the ones you are meant to save, you are praying for them to die. So if you are killing them, who should be saving them? And then, if you are in the business of killing those who are meant to save, what occupation does Satan now have? You took over his job. That's what you're doing. Now, what is God's heart? I am seeking for a man. What will the man do? He will stand before me. What's the problem? Judgment is coming. Consequence about to happen. What will a man be able to accomplish? In the place of prayer, the mercy I have planned will be manifest so that men will not suffer the consequences of their what? Actions. So Ezekiel in prophecy is telling you the mind of God. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 2 verse 1. So that was an inquiry. Ezekiel is saying God is looking. Question, has God found? Let's find out. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, today we have what? Presidents, and governors, and senators, and etc. And for all that were in authority. Notice that we may lead a quiet and what? Peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Look at next verse. Why are you asked to pray that way? Because when it says all men, obviously not all men are saved. So, you are going to pray for all men. Your right to pray for all men is the authority of the scriptures. What is your business for praying for all men, since all men are not saved? And some of those men who are not saved, they were in authority. So why should you not pray for somebody to fall down and die? He's about to lay down. See what it says now. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Who is God now? Our Savior. Say, my Father saves men. He doesn't kill them. Okay. So he's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants men to be saved. And in their being saved, they will come to what? The knowledge of the truth. So God is our Savior. That is who he is. That is what he has provided. It does not mean that the provisions will reach men. I want all of you to pray. I exhort therefore prayer, supplication, sacrifice, giving, be made for all. Why? God is our Savior. Or there is enough saving grace for all men. But it will never reach them except you pray. Why? This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who is our Savior. So God, who is our Savior, will want all men to be saved. So he made saving grace what? Available. How will the grace reach men? Okay, we will have to pray. Hallelujah. Now remember, for every one of these men, that scripture is still true. The wages of sin is what? Death. So when we pray, what will happen? The gift of God, which is eternal life. So we are praying because even though God is Savior, saving men is not automatic. The saving grace has to reach men, so we are asked to pray. Well, majorly when we are praying actually that men will receive that what? Saving grace. Praise the Lord. Now, we're starting this way because we look at the character of God in place of prayer and how your prayers should be like. We're looking at prevailing prayers because after a while we'll get to a point where, of course, someone says, Pastor, are you going to teach us about praying for our needs? No worry, we'll cover. We'll pray for your needs. Amen. But you need to realize that your needs are very temporal. How many of you know that? The needs you had 2 years ago, have they not changed now? They have changed. So they keep changing. But there are some things that don't change. There are some eternal realities that don't change. So the bulk of your prayers should be focused on those what? Eternal realities. Those are the things that Jesus will welcome you for and say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. He will not welcome you for buying a car. You believe God for your house, you got the house. You believe God to jackpot, you jackpot. Who is happy? You. Is God happy? Well, because you are happy. It makes no difference in wherever you are, except he sent you there. Okay, some of you don't like that. Is God interested in you going to U.S.? If you are interested in going to U.S., the only thing you may do wrong is that if he doesn't want you to be there, you go there. And those are one of the things we accomplish in prayer, which is your heart becomes set in such a way that what God wants is exactly what you want. That takes time. Because you are strong-willed in certain areas. Just imagine, I didn't want to come to Lagos. I didn't like Lagos. I worked in Lagos, and I had to go to Bado. I was very happy. It was a setup. 2 years after, guess where I was? Back in Lagos. I almost complained all the way back. I'm going to that crazy place again. That place. When I first came to Lagos, I had to relearn how to drive. You don't understand. If you're coming from where I'm coming from. Said driving in 1990. I came to Lagos, I was driving for 11 years. When I came, everybody around was crazy. They were driving close, bumper to bumper. I was like, what's going on here? It was Lagos that I saw people that you get to the roundabout. When you get to roundabout, if you ever went to driving school, you read the What do you call it now? Highway code and everything. I declare they don't even have highway here. It's only road that they have. When you get to a roundabout, everybody waits for who comes first. Everybody knows who came first. But it's in Lagos that I discovered that as you are coming, when you want to, you are the first person that came. The person that's coming after you doing like this. These people are not okay. So it took me a while to realize that. Just you can go. you can go. How to like that? This is how they behave here. So you can imagine I didn't want to come back. But if I didn't come back, we won't be here. Guess what now? I love being in Lagos. Now I don't want to go to Badagin. Even they offer me, something has to change on the inside. I'm not wired for this place. So it takes a while of submitting your will to God's will in prayer for the desires of his heart to be seen as what? The desires of your heart. But look at what it says again. Go back to that First Timothy. We'll cover some of those things as we go on. First Timothy 2, verse 3. First Timothy 2, verse 3. So, for this goodness has been inside of God our Savior, we will have all men to be saved, verse 4. And to what? Come to know you of the truth. Make our next verse. Let's read on. For there is one God, that is one mediator between who? God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's the man God was looking for in Ezekiel. He has found that man. Who is that man? Christ Jesus. There's one God, there's one mediator between God and men. Look at the next verse. What did he have to do? He gave himself what? A ransom for all to be testified in what? In due time. Can you see that? So there's one God and one mediator between God and men. Or he's the one through whom men were able to come to God. He's one that averted eternal judgment on the behalf of men. So we're to pray knowing there's one what? Mediator. Somebody whose work becomes the sacrifice we offer on the behalf of men. There's one mediator. Someone whose sacrifice becomes that which drives our praying for men. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this. The sacrifice is already in place. Whether we pray or not, is in place. But our praying will make the sacrifice acceptable to men. Notice what he said. This is good and acceptable inside of God, who is our Savior. And in being our Savior, he wants all men to be what? Saved. Now, let me take a small detour now. If God wants all men to be saved, and that is eternally saved, do you think he wants to also rescue men from temporal challenges? Do you think so? Okay. But does everybody escape temporal challenges? Okay. So could it be the will of God for men to face those challenges, or it could be a failure issue most of the time? We're answering questions, and it's important before you pray. It's important for your posture to be this way in your mind before you pray. There's a disposition. Because James is laying down. He says, go back to James now. No, we're introducing today, so I will touch on many places, and then we begin to put context to it as we go on. Go back to James. Are you there? Verse 5. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. Let him ask of who? That gives to. Now notice, before you ask, does God give? Why are you asking? Because God gives. So when you are going to ask, why are you asking? Because God gives. So what is motivating your asking is because you have discovered God what? We give. That means if the challenge is coming your way, God's plan is to deliver you in the situation. Yes or no? Okay, so let me ask again. If you know that God wants you delivered, will you pray? Will you pray? Okay. So the question is, when the challenges come, why don't you pray? Should I say that again? If you know God wants to deliver you, and there's enough power to deliver you, when the challenges come, why don't you pray? So let me ask again this way. The last time challenges came, did you pray or did you complain? Answer on your own. Don't tell anybody. Did you pray or did you what? Complain. Which is easier to do, to pray or to complain? Okay. What does the Bible actually teach? Pray. Which one do you find yourself doing most of the time? So why do you end up complaining? Could it be that you have left the word of God, which says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Ask. So you lack, in fact, your complaint is designed that you lack wisdom. Your complaint is designed that you want, you lack wisdom, which is, wisdom is, what should you do now that there are challenges? He's not saying there are no challenges. He already told you Count it all joy when you fall into other temptations. So this should not be strange. This is not something strange. This is something that the end has been timing from the beginning. It now says, if you lack wisdom, what to do next? What should you do? You should ask. What is another word for asking? Pray. Look at chapter 5. James, chapter 5, verse 13. James is laying down New Testament doctrine. Let's follow James. Is any among you, so who is any referring to again now? Are you among the brethren? Okay. Is any among you, So let's look at another epistle to know who are those he's referring to again. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. We'll come back to James 5:13. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. Who are those he's referring to? 1 John chapter 5 verse 4. For whosoever, the word there is actually whosoever, not whatsoever. For whosoever is what? Born of God, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that what? Overcomes the world, our faith. For whosoever is born of God, overcometh. So potentially that's who you are. It says, and this is the victory, or I mean this is the victory that overcomes our what? Faith. Or your salvation. See, I've overcome the world. So how does this sometimes look like everything's overcoming you? This is the word of God. Who is he talking to? Those who are overcomers. That's John's language. How does James put it? Is any among you? Who is he referring to? Brethren. So go back to James 5:13 now. Is any among you afflicted? Let him complain. Let him murmur. Let him tell everybody that life is difficult. Is any among you afflicted? Let him contract our prayers. Let him look for a mountain. Let him go to one old baba somewhere. Okay. Let him. Notice who is afflicted? Him. Who should pray? Him. Who has the ability to turn the affliction around? Him. But notice, the minute you leave the word of God, you are open to deception. Now, we have more people gathered in gatherings. Let me use the word gatherings. Where one man is being consulted to pray for all of them. It's the height of stupidity. When you leave your prayer challenges, not prayer challenges, prayer points, issues that you have, you go and submit to one man who will now fast and pray for you while you go to sleep. You have found men most miserable. You have been deceived. Is any among you, who is he referring to? Those who are overcomers. What should you do when you're afflicted? You should pray. What does you should pray mean? That is the answer to the affliction. Why answers will come when it comes to the affliction. Don't contract out your prayers. That's what he's talking about. Now, someone said, Pastor, are you saying that we cannot ask our pastors to pray? Of course, you can ask your pastors to pray. You can ask brethren to pray for you. But that should not be your permanent disposition with respect to life. Why? Because the people you are asking to pray, they also have the same inheritance you have. They do. So if you are not spiritually lazy, what should you do? You should pray. God guarantees you will come out of the situation if you pray. Is any among you have let him pray? Is any man let him? And I've discovered in a few years that I've been around that nobody contracts out their rejoicing. Brother Dimi, I'm merry, you sing. You ready before? No. What do we like? This challenge that much. Sister Titi, pray for me. But nobody says, sing for me. I'm feeling great. Help me sing. No, you are the one that sings with all kinds of keys whenever you are merry. So the question is, if you can do that when you are merry, why shouldn't you pray when you are what? Afflicted. Why? He has brought many sons to where? To glory. To the place where answers are. He has brought you to where answers are. He has given you the right to pray. You are in that man who has stood in the gap. And who is forever standing where? In the gap. I sought for a man. He has found that man in Christ Jesus. The mediator between God and man. And you are one with him. Say, I'm one with him. Say, I'm one with him. That means through you, God is able to deliver many. So he says, first of all, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks made for all men, for kings and for those who are in authority, that we. So you are the one God is entrusting with responsibility of even praying for some of these people that you are busy cursing to be saved. See, I'm a priest. My mouth speaks blessings only. I don't curse. Okay, you see, we are touching on many things now. The word, the election. Pastor, leave that one. Preach the word of God. I made you. You know what you have said. Only God will. What were you asked to do? I asked, therefore, exhort therefore, that prayers, supplications, giving of thanks be made for how many men? Including that man you're thinking about. I didn't ask who you are thinking, but that man you're thinking about is for all. Is actually a man. Or they are men. Pray for all men. That's your position. Your position is not political discussions or swearing. You are a priest. Curses should never proceed from your lips. The same mouth should not bring forth bitter water and sweet water. Only sweet. Hallelujah. He says, God, you know what God is saying? I'm counting on you to pray. To change things around. You are interested in who becomes governor. I'm interested in their soul. Is the interest the same now? Let me say it again. You are interested in your man being in office. I'm interested in that man being my man. So whose side are you on? You see, that's the height of... Can you see how foolish it is to fight over political parties? You can have a natural persuasion about the party, but it should never be exalted above the word of God and above relationships that have to be spiritual. How can you say, I'm angry with you because you voted for this man? I don't understand. I voted for this man. You're angry with me. And I'm not the man I voted for. And both of us are brethren. And the man you're angry with me over is not one of the brethren. So you are angry with me now. Can you see that? Okay, I won't say the other part. I wanted to quote James. If any of you lack wisdom. He doesn't see what you are brethren. All of us are what? Brethren. We should never fight. We should help those who are fighting. We shouldn't be doing what we have washed by the same blood. We are in one man. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like having a football club. You wear blue, I wear red. I didn't say anything. And then you didn't invite me for your party because my club won. You're angry with me because of, well, you know, what binds us together is better than club. Some of those things are petty things are because you've forgotten the man of man you are. That's what has happened. So you, that you're not a prayer point, you, that you're blood-bought, you are blood-washed, you, that has the ears of God, I exhort that first of all, say first of all, first of all, prayer, supplications, giving of what? Thanks. Be made for how many? Say all. That's what the scriptures, why? There's a mediator, and his work must be seen in the lives of men, so pray. That means if the work is not seen, somebody is not praying. Somebody is not praying. So, I'm trying to let you see that when we talk about praying now, within the realm of Christian doctrine, it's not always about selfish things about yourself. It's about administering the will and purpose of God on the earth. That's the primary reason we pray. That's the primary reason we pray. Glory to God. That's the primary reason we pray. And that's why a prayer failure means a failure of God's will to manifest within a particular scope of time more often than not. I sought for a man. I found a man. And in that man, I found many men. Say, I've been found in Christ. Say, I've been found in Christ. Say, God needs me and my input by his spirit to effect his will upon the earth. Therefore, I will pray. Hallelujah. That's why we send our prayer direction when it comes to prayer in the mornings. But you know, many times, if you are in God's prayer program, you will discover that you will start praying the spirit before you know what to pray for. That means you don't need a prayer point. Praying is the point. It's because everything you want to pray about is about how your uncle will be well, how they promote you at work, how you get a new job. That's why you have prayer points plenty. If you know what prayer is for a believer, you will know that praying is what? That's the point. Now, if God has something specific, it's as you are praying the spirit that will what? It will reveal those things to you. The same James. You got the same James. Go back to James now. Verse 13 again. Is any among you afflicted? Let him what? Pray. Is any man? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him what? Call for the others. Don't, I'm trying to call your attention to something. James is giving us New Testament doctrine. What should you do when you're afflicted? Please pray. What should you do when you're merry? Don't go and drive a sports car and move around. You're a believer. What should you do? What? Sing. That means when you are merry, there are some things God will say to you, and as you're singing, it will come out. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Is any among you sick? Let him what? call. Now, just take your own exam script. Mark yourself. Of the three, which one have you done? Is there any scam? Let him call for the elders. He didn't say, is any scam among you? Let him not come to church for 3 weeks and blame the elders. Have you seen it? For not checking on him. What should he do? He should call for the elders. He didn't say the elders should call for him. Pastor is giving us blues this morning. I'm not the Spirit of God. Let him ignore church for 1 month because he didn't check for him. What should he do? He should call for. We know you are not doing the first instruction because what you are doing now, when you are now sick, they didn't even ask for me. You should call for the elders. I'm not feeling well, so I need your help. Somebody called me from UK because he wasn't feeling well, and I prayed for him. He called me from UK. He didn't say, I've not been here for a while now. You didn't ask for me. You will stay long in sickness, so God forbid, but see, some things are so clear. You are offended, and in your offense, you are standing against God's word. You should call for the elders. That means the elders are not monitoring whether we're sick, we're sick. No. Is any of you sick? Let him call. That means this is beyond what your faith can handle. Then let the elders pray for you. Not that I say, I didn't come for two in 2 weeks. Did you even ask for me? Yes, we should look out for you. We should ask about you. We ask about people. But because we're still men, there can be an oversight sometimes. And it shouldn't take us up to 2 weeks. Sometimes it takes up to 2 weeks before you go, okay, this person has not been around. And then the next thing, you should call for what? The elders. Let them pray over you. That means before you call, this is the formula. This is what works. When they pray, something will happen to you. You will receive your healing. Go to verse 16. That's where we're going. Look at the B part. The effectual what? Fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. Avails much. Let's read that. That's B part in Amplified. Okay. See what it says? The earnest, heartfelt, continued. What is the word heartfelt and earnest? That is the mind that is established in what God wants to do in the situation. There's no doubt. Why is it earnest and heartfelt? This is the will of God. The will of God is, this is what God wants to do. So it is earnest, it is heartfelt. I have picked up God's heartbeat. I'm not going to let go until I see God's will be manifest. So it is earnest and heartfelt. So a lot of times, the reason why your prayer is not earnest and heartfelt is that you're not even sure what the will of God is. It says, the earnest, heartfelt, and what? Earnest, heartfelt, continued one, prayer of who? A righteous man. You know, the idea of the prayer is this, is a continuous stream that doesn't stop. That means you are mounting pressure on whatever the opposition is. It just continues. Let me say it this way. You are not really called to short prayers when it comes to prayer as a ministry. You are called to continued praying. That means you persist. That means through you, God is touching, God is changing, God is, so to speak, flowing in a particular direction. And your stopping is cutting short the flow, more often than not. The earnest effort continued. That's secret. It is one continued. And as we're going to see, because the practice of scriptures is that as long as men have a will, some things that we call prayer has to be one continued. Men have a will. Guess what? They have a right to exercise the will, even when the will is against the will of God. They do. So one of the reasons why we pray is that, because again, it is a fatalistic mindset for you to say, whatever will be. I'm sure you know by now that that's not true. There are many things that should be that are not. So the prayer gap is that you and I are called of God to step in. We have the ears of God. We have his attention. He has rolled up his power. He has gone one step further. He has given us his spirit. So in us, he has found men who will make up the edge or who will make up the gap, the difference. So that things that ought not to happen, we know what? Happen. Hallelujah. So the earnest, heartfelt, it continued. You know, that's one of the challenges that Abraham had, knowledge. If it's earnest and heartfelt, those two components make up for this person understands the will of God. That's what it means. Abraham did not fully know the will of God. Yet Abraham was a righteous man. Genesis 15 and verse 6. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for what? Righteousness. The same Abraham now in Genesis 18 began to pray. Look at Genesis 18. Abraham is our first recorded example now. When I say for, he's the first one that the Bible uses that word for But people like Enoch and Abel and who else? Noah. They were righteous men before him. But the first person in the scriptures that the word righteous was used for. So look at chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from who? Abraham, that thing which I do. Or will I hide from Abraham what is going to happen? Now, who is Abraham? God's covenant partner. It is seen that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed where? In him, or like him exactly, following that pattern, they will be blessed. For I know him, he will command his children and his household after him, and he shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and what judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham. Oh, glory to God. He will teach, he will command. They will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring. So notice, in teaching, in carrying on the doctrine of righteousness, he will be able to ensure that God's will comes to what? Pass. So now, that is the person God is talking about now. Now, look at what God said to Abraham. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, verse 20, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from hence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, will thou also do what? Destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be how many people? 50 righteous within the city. Imagine a whole city. We don't know the numbers or the figures, but it's a whole city. And Abraham says, what about 50 men? So Abraham's limited knowledge is, if you can find 50, will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are there? Look at next verse. So this is prayer going on. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? This is prayer. This is pleading with God in the place of prayer. This is counting on God's nature and God's personality to get answers in prayer. That's what Abraham is doing. So Abraham knew a bit of God to know how to pray. Look at the next verse. And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Now, stop. When you're studying, pay attention to what he said. If I find. What is God doing responding to Abraham? God is not saying, it's only 50. Once is less than 50. It is Abraham who mentioned 50. God is trying to help Abraham to understand what mercy is. It's a gradual thing. You can't rush it. Who mentioned 50? He could have mentioned 100, isn't it? But he said 50. So let's go on. See what happened next. Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. How many is that? For the 5. Will you destroy also the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not what? Destroyed. And he spake yet again, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not. Is he angry? Now, I'm saying this because I want you to imagine how we think sometimes. If I ask too much, maybe we get upset and say, your own is too much. God is not your uncle. You asked money from last week, you asked this week. Say, if I ask again now, I wait till June. You say, my own is too much. Last man, you are dealing with God, who is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. What is God actually doing? Encouraging Abraham to ask for more. How righteous is God, actually, if he found only one? Was there one man in that city? Yes. What was his name? Lot. Sometimes I wonder at God's definition of righteous men. Lot. It's okay. It's okay. That's why I'm not God. If I find one man, it's found the Lot was there. But did Abraham have that revelation at that time? No. Can you see how the will of God can hinder you in prayer? Abraham knew enough to ask for 40, 45. Look at the next verse. At least he jumped. Some of us who have stopped got gone 30. So what if there are 20? Okay, 30 was there. 30. He said, I will not do it if I find 30. Then what? 20. I will not do it for 20 seconds. Oh Lord, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak yet but this once. Who told you can ask for one more? Listen. But when they want 10 be found there, you should have gone down to 5. And if God says, okay, wow, my cousin is there, if the only one. Look at the next verse. Verse 21. And the Lord went his way. Why? Abraham stopped praying. Where did Abraham stop? 10. How bad was city? They can't find 10. Actually, they couldn't find 5. Abraham stopped just short of what God's mercy can do. Why was judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah? I found no man that could stand in the gap. The man who tried to stand was not fully effective. It was only effective in rescuing one man. So anybody who is righteous there, Abraham's prayer covers them. But any other person, that means the people, why is God informing Abraham? He really doesn't want anybody in the city destroyed. He will not have any men perish. Hallelujah. That's God's will. See, that's God's will. See, that's God's will. Now, I'm saying that to say this. You heard in the news, an accident happened, so and so. Everybody in the bus died. Say, maybe they are not the people of God. Whether they are the people of God or not, God does not want any man to what? Perish. Even if they are the people of God, he still doesn't want their lives to be cut short. Even if they are terrorists. I know you don't agree. Nigerian army has destroyed 50 terrorists. Those are 50 souls gone. With no opportunity to meet Christ. Somebody is smiling. You saw the news with joy. But you know, see, the way God thinks, not the way we think. God is not willing that any should what? Perish. He's actually not willing. And we got to learn to start thinking that way. Because whatever is on the earth is temporal. Eternal things, that's God's focus. The blood of Jesus is eternal. Forgiveness is eternal. Righteousness is what? Eternal. So we see Abraham as an example. The effectual, the earnest, heartfelt what? Continued prayer of who? A righteous man. And as we go on, we also start looking at prayer burdens. Because when a season that is a little bit sensitive, that's why we're starting along this line. I almost introduced it earlier in March. And I wanted to pray every single day of March. Because we're in a very sensitive season, and you begin to understand why we're going this direction, because we have to do one or two things to start preparing us, because every day, something has to happen in the place of prayer for you. You must begin to leave mundane things and enter God's prayer program if you're going to be relevant in days ahead. You must leave what the bread and butter prayer, you know what I mean? Give me a shoe, give me a car, give me a house, give me a job, give me money. You must step into something higher when it comes to leadings of God. I remember the story I heard about this older couple. And those people understood what prayer was about. Because they had a farm. And they brought up their daughter in the way of the Lord. And those were old time, holiness Pentecostals in those days. And they were given to, they would just come to church. Nobody fixes hours of praying in church. They just come and pray until they are done. That means they don't say 8 to 12. They just start at 8. It's whenever the Spirit releases them. Ah. If you do that in Lagos, some of your church members will not come to church again. That pastor, we got there at 8 o'clock. He leaves us at 4. Does he not know we have houses? We know. But this was the practice. And that was why they got some very strange and what? Unusual results. Cancers died. Babies that were dead also came alive. Because of the atmosphere of prayer and those kind of assemblies. They were called Holiness Pentecostals. That's how they were raised. So they raised their daughter. And their daughter was a missionary in a foreign land. And the old man was going to feed the cow in the morning. He was already carrying the bucket of food to go and feed them. Very early morning, around 6 a.m. He just stopped midway. A burden came upon him. He knew. The wife was looking at him. What's the matter? He said, I've got to pray, and I've got to pray now. He dropped the bucket where he was, knelt down, began to pray. 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Why? The burden didn't lift. 5 hours. From 6 a.m. around past 1 in the afternoon, the burden lifted. He got up. We have the victory. The daughter contracted a tropical disease where she was. She actually died. They put her in the tent, wondering what to do with her. While they were deliberating, she came out of the tent alive. Why? The father wouldn't give up where he was. Who gave the father the burden? The Spirit of God. Now, what would some people conclude? It must be the will of God. She has served God well. That same Spirit gave the father a burden. Don't let go. You are contending with forces. Not with me, with forces. There are forces you are dealing with that want that dead. Now pray. Now pray. Who raised her up? God did by his power. How did he do that? Somebody praying and refusing to what? Let go. So there's a training in that kind of prayer. It's not 5 minutes plus Jesus minus Satan. No. It's not that kind of prayer. We're talking about laboring in prayer until the will of God is done. Until the will of God is done. I'm talking about prayer where groanings begin to come in. Where the Spirit of God takes over your faculties. And you're expressing things of the Spirit. Sometimes emotion, sometimes words, sometimes utterances. Not short prayers. No. Because now you are partnering with God. And God cannot, that can't be seen, cannot be seen through your utterances and through your actions upon the earth to effect changes in situations and circumstances around you. Hallelujah. And that's why when we're having prayer meetings in church and you don't come, you are missing opportunities to be trained. Because we know you won't do this kind of prayer on your own. The easiest way to do it is where? In church. You won't do it on your own. We're having a prayer. I called for a prayer, a special prayer time, sometime last quarter of last year, if you remember. Okay. And there was a burden that fell upon one of our sisters, and that burden fell on me also. I moved closer. I was going to pray. We prayed out our relocation with ease. This wasn't, it was something, that what was required for it to happen, funds and everything, she had never seen it before in her entire family. And everything fell in place without borrowing. That was part of the will of God. There are some things God wants to do. Those things are waiting on your praying out and praying through. It can't happen any other way. Because they are forces. See, in your journey through life, you are going to meet men, isn't it? The will of men. Let me say something else to you. Illustration. To get visa, the will of God can be in the U.S. And a demonized being can be at the passport, at the visa office. Just looks at you. No. But if you pray through, if he needs to be absent that day, he'll be absent. If he needs to go for lunch, he will go for lunch. When is your turn? I hope you understand. Why? Men can stop you if you don't know how to pray. Because their will is valid in their own rights. Their will is valid. The honest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous. It's what continues. So the stream is flowing and you don't let it stop. Why? Pressure is continuous in that same direction. That's the way you effect the will of God upon earth. Don't just think, you know, you didn't know what God is. No, you how many minutes did you pray? Did you stay there until the same body that came, what? Lifted of you. You persisted. There's a man in the heavens. Hallelujah. And because we're one with him, the streams of prayer can come through us to make his will fully manifest upon the earth. So there are many things that God wants to do in our lives, lives of others, that is tied to us, that we'll begin to see as we give ourselves to this kind of praying. Not the short ones, no. The ones where you commit yourself and you tell yourself, if you've not been praying this way, like I said, come for prayer meeting, just pray for 3-4 hours, give it a shot. The day that prayer burden comes upon you, that's meant to last for 5 hours. After 5 minutes, you yawn. I have the note of victory. No, you are easy. You just did. It's 5 minutes. Say, glory, glory, glory. Hey, glory. Which glory? It's not time for glory. Oh. You tell yourself like you put yourself like this. Pray, pray. Which is not great glory. That's not how it happens. You persevere. You labor in prayer. That's what you do. Why? Burdens are a gift. Every time I picked up a burden, why I'm excited is another victory is about to be wrought. If the energy to pray came via the burden, that means victory has been planned and prepared. I must not fail on my part to execute it in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. And somebody says, Pastor, I've never felt a burden before. Welcome. We will train you. We'll bring you to that place. This is a local assembly. Christ at work in us. Hallelujah. His spirit is alive in us. There's no better place than a local assembly where bodies are picked up. You know how many times we wanted to do something in church here? Hey, Pastor T, we just said that. I just said, he's meant to go and do exhortation. I just sense we should pray more. And because we are completely disconnected, we are just like, exhort us and let us go. Where are you going? Someone, if you were sensitive, you will know that the prayer was meant to continue. And when people are flowing in the spirit, even the person that was leading prayer may know and not say anything. He leaves it to the next person who is meant to continue. Why? It's an assembly. The spirit of God is our connection. Somebody should be sending out to know that, you know what? We need to pray now. Because there's probably a member of our local assembly who is not in church right now, but is in trouble somewhere. Hallelujah. It's important. We should have that kind of flow of the spirit. Not just in speaking tongues. No. Or in running around. No. We should have such a flow that even in place of prayer,
we're up to par when it comes to what God wants to do. Glory to God. That's how we know the meetings to do. That's how we even see things ahead of time. And we change things. You see a cloud, thick and heavy with gloom, and place of prayer, you empty out the cloud. Until the cloud is still there, but there's nothing in the cloud again to do anybody harm. We get that done in the place of prayer. We prevail. So there's something about your path of continued that affects those kind of changes. Stand to your feet this morning. Lift your hands. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this season, I pick up burdens. I prevail in prayer. I pray like my life depends on it. I do not shy away from prayer responsibility. I give myself fully to your plans and purposes to pray out your will and your counsel in the place of prayer. I receive sensitivity like never before to know when to pray during the day and in the night. I will pick up directions and leading. Thank you for strengthening me by your spirit in my inner man to pray like I ought to. In the name of Jesus, give him thanks this morning. I prayed you into commitment. Open your mind and pray in the Holy Ghost now. We make up the edges. We fill up the gap. We make up the edges. Nothing escapes us. Nothing escapes us. No more failures of any kind. Nothing escapes our gaze and our attention. Nothing escapes us. Belly broste fragite carta. Nothing catches us by surprise again. We make up the gap. We cover the spaces. The spirit is waiting on you. The spirit is waiting on me. I will be dependable. I will be reliable. I'll be useful in the things of God. I'll be useful in the days ahead. I'll be useful this season. I will awake to my responsibility. I'm a righteous man. My prayers prevail. My prayers avail. My prayers make tremendous difference. Betubraka, bele kuko prostegete, ekambro kuka sebreko, mbo pakoro. Emma Cobra Castepe Catalango, Lo Bronge Kila Bragatise, Resto Brocote, Epra Catile Gige Gige, all complacency, all lukewarmness gives way to the fire of God's Spirit. In my heart, I'm passionate, I'm fervent like never before. Every sense of complacency, every lack of fervency gives way. I'm zealous like never before. A pastor brokose in the pursuit of God's agenda on the earth. I'm fervent. I'm zealous. No more prayer failure. My altar is alive. There's fire on my altar of prayer like never before. In the name of Jesus, I'm zealous. I'm fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord in the place of prayer. Mr. Brokotele, Ele Kruko Stafragata Nagia, Ele Bungroko Gakike Breke, no more slothfulness, no more slothfulness, no more slothfulness. A part of coal, Lembrike Kana Brokos, Ele Branco Copragakike Sepregeste, Bragastero. And the Combroca Gafraki Gestibrek Gestibregata, Ekubroco Cosho, Lembro Camo, Among Leprika Kike Kestobrocotana, Ene Bragosho, Beke Bracococo Sabragato, Omotileba. Oh, Motile Brando Cubus, O Procatandelib, Ete Breco Coca Braga Kikes Sombro Coach. Manga. Le Cubra Gatte, Le Broco Coca Sibregiste, Eka Braco Cobra Gatane Kelly, Eka Catine Kike Leke Breco Cobra Coca Sibregate. Oh, Brakesteke, we shed off every limitation.
We cast away every sense of complacency, every form of slothfulness gives way this season. We are alive, we are fervent, we are passionate, we are full of zeal on the things of the kingdom. I prosper in the will of God. 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 And the will of God prospers through me. The will of God prospers through me. Among the Christ. Lebroko katanamai. Ene bruko kasebrekete. Eh bakalo. Eh bakalo. Erombondre candelo, unglo progible histe, le grobosse, le bracoto buguri, enangomo, ecola brones, ene cumbroi, enambrando cocodia, enenge, ecugolo brocoste, ecadi, enobrogolo, embroco gassine, elo gruco bragacaki, ekike sepreste calamal, ele mumbro copotiadas, sabra coporita gatie, pogole. Oh pogole, men sobro kotanike, elelele pangro kustokoda, enianga kanagangi kisege. No more lukewarmness, no more passiveness, no more complacency, no more slothfulness. In the place of prayer, eka sobroko, I take my place, I take my place, I stand my ground. I take my place. Lendro komus membre kobados le brakopa gatambola no koto logungo ramoso on demron bala brongo semrongo engreko kushe braga kike sekoro onibronge onibrago koko kese breket olemrongo kala braga kish egana enogumro kusto onegana gangi gelia engonugo brongo kakiste. Oh, braga kaki ke braki ke shibo. Londre kaki ke kike shiko. O gambrodo. O piga braka kike 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 se brekolo bako. Roba gatana. O peresto sa bragada. Ene imbroko. Ombroka fraka kike 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 se breke tolobo. Ite brada gatile. Ombrokeshi. Le kubro seka, el grobro koke sebre, ene munro ko bali ke tiste, ene kaka kike tiso, lo braka kike kish, lusa brako bagati, ene ma, omungro sebre da kati le geke le broko geke geke sebre deke, ene mboka la baki ana sobro kole, ene mbakati, ene kubro koke le brech, ene sobro bostamro. Proste vragate, amante le vrashtero, Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Philippians 1 and verse 19, Paul uttered a remarkable statement by the Spirit of God. He said, for I know that this shall turn to my deliverance, to your prayers, and the supply of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. I know this shall turn to my deliverance through your prayers. The word salvation is the word deliverance. Through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit. There's a link between our prayers and the supply of the Spirit. That's why this season, you mustn't miss it. You mustn't miss it. And let me say something to you. Why are the burdens necessary? When the burdens come, there's a time frame for the execution. When you miss it, sometimes it doesn't come back again. That is why I'm trying to sensitize us now, that commit yourself today. This is April, a new quarter. Some things God wants you to accomplish this year is tied to that. Some things God wants to do as somebody who is in partnership with Him is attached to that. When the burdens come, there's usually a time frame for the execution. That means if He wakes you up at 2 a.m., you can't tell Him by 5 I will do it. The time is gone. And He may never come back with eternal consequences. Please, don't shake off those things. Don't let slothfulness get a hold of your soul now. Please don't. Learn to stay alert in prayer. Learn to pick it up when you're in traffic, when you're going to work, when you're in the office, and you need to drop other things to spend some time to pray. If you cannot because you're in the office, under your breath, you can quietly, while you're doing whatever you're doing with your hands, because those things come, and there is no other way to get answers to the things that come to us by burdens. You cannot get answers any other way to those kind of things except to pray it out. It has to be prayed out. Once you don't pray it out, results won't come. And like I said, a whole season, and when it comes to seasons of life, a season can be 2 years, a season can be 7 years. For Moses, the season was 40 years before he could recapture what God wanted to do when he was 40. He moved when he was 50 rather, and it was when he was 80 that the season came back. So when a season comes, you cannot afford to trifle with it. You will even have legitimate reasons. Your work, your boss gave you a deadline. But the burden comes because of the eternal nature of what it might mean. You can't shake it off. And that's why if your focus has been so much on carnal mundane things, it's difficult to pick up burdens. Because all you read are newspapers, all you watch are movies. It's difficult when it even comes. I've been in a local assembly before. It's a sad testimony. A young man, heaviness settled upon him. He didn't know how to interpret it. He assumed he was hungry. You have to understand how to interpret spiritual things. He assumed that he was hungry. He said, maybe I just feel to be light. He began to jog. Just feel. A spiritual sensation was being interpreted physically. The very next morning, armed robbers came to their neighbor's house. Had no business with them. The father opened the door at the wrong time. They shot him dead. That was the burden that came the night before. So can you hold God responsible? He was the only one God could reach in that situation to pray it out. He did not. His father, they had no business with the father. He just opened the door at the wrong time. They were not come to the house. He saw them, they saw him, they shot him. That's why it's important. There are things you blame God for, that God is not responsible. He has rolled over the burden to us. Why? This is spiritual warfare. Some things, except you pray them out, they can't be sorted any other way. Lift your hands. Say, Father, I thank you. By your spirit, this season, I'm fervent. I'm sensitive. I'm not lukewarm. I'm not slothful. I'm fervent. I'm quick to pick up. And I respond. Help me to respond. Strengthen my heart. And I will yield fully. In the name of Jesus. Amen.